Om Shanti. 24th July 2018, Tuesday. Today's blessing is, may you be an embodiment of happiness by living in the world of sorrow, by having the awareness of the Father, the ocean of happiness. Constantly maintain the awareness of the Father, the ocean of happiness, and you will become embodiments of happiness. No matter how much influence of sorrow and peacelessness there is in the world, you are loving and detached and with the ocean of happiness. Therefore you are constantly happy, and those who constantly swing in the swing of happiness, the children who are master ocean of happiness, cannot even have any thought of sorrow, because they have stepped away from the world of sorrow and reached the confluence age. All strings are broken. Therefore continue to move along in the waves of the ocean of happiness. So Baba is reminding us again who we are, the embodiment of happiness, the children of ocean of happiness. No matter how much sorrow is there in the world, no matter how much peacelessness is there in the world, we are loving and detached. We are constantly swinging in the swing of happiness. We are the master oceans of happiness. Even the thought of sorrow cannot come near us. All the strings are broken, and we are moving along in the waves of the ocean of happiness. In the modern psychology, there is one word or term which is known as hedonic treadmill. Hedonic treadmill. This is a beautiful concept which says, no matter what all positive and negative things happen in life, positive and negative events in life, after some time you come to the same stable level of happiness which you were before. These are positive and negative events, and this was your level of happiness before. So once you undergo these levels, you again come to the same stable level of happiness. For example, this is in the worldly sense. For example, somebody doesn't have job and he is unhappy. He gets a job. He is so much yearning and after the job. And one day he gets a job. After some time, his happiness rises after getting job. Earlier it was here. He gets a job, his happiness goes up. But after some time, again it comes down and reaches the same level which it was before. It comes to the plateau again after some time. Somebody is unmarried. He wishes to get married and feels that after marriage I will become very happy. So he gets married, Chaturbhuj, and he comes here. But after some time he finds that he is coming back to the same level. Somebody doesn't have money. He gets the money. After some time he finds that he comes to the same level of happiness. So this phenomenon is known as hedonic treadmill. There is a happiness set point always. This is said about worldly things. The authors, the proponents of this theory probably have no idea about spirituality. or about the true spiritual knowledge. And that's why this theory says no matter what you do, you keep on doing positive things or negative things, you will come to the same level of happiness, but the basic sorrow remains the same no matter what you do. This is what it says. Though this theory is used in positive psychology, but it has got its negative component. Now Baba is saying, you are embodiment of happiness. Not a thought of sorrow can ever come near you. You have stepped away from this world of sorrow. You are constantly swinging in the swing of happiness. But is it so? When we are really the embodiment of happiness, why does the sorrow come? From where the sorrow is arising? Dukkhasya kona karanam? Bhagavad starts with that question. Dukkhasya kona karanam? What is the cause of sorrow? Everything is there in life, and yet the sorrow is there. Which desires? Now come to the Brahmins. They have achieved God. They have come to this divine family. They are doing intense effort. They are getting up for Amrit Vela. They are listening Murli. They are engaged in Karma Yoga throughout the day. And yet, the sorrow somewhere is there. Why? What is the cause of sorrow? The deep-rooted sorrow. Is it the sanskar? Has sorrow become the sanskar, a habit, an addiction? A soul which has stayed in sorrow for a long time. A soul which had stayed in darkness for a long time. The moment you expose that soul to the dazzling light of the sun, that soul tries to shy away, run away, go away from that light. So there are two questions. How to get rid of this sorrow? And second, coming to this eternal happiness, how? This is a most celebrated Srimad. That stay happy. Even in Sunday's Murli we saw. Staying happiness is a blessing of life. Vardhan. Sada snehi. And sada harshit. These are the two things Baba told in the Murli. But then the question often remains, why this happiness is so elusive? Why this happiness evades our consciousness? And why? And from where? And how the sorrow trickles down? Sorrow makes its way into our villages of happiness. So two questions. How to stay ever happy? This is a question most often asked even in the world. And second question, how to get rid of sorrow? So what is the answer? I am asking for those Tivra Purusharthis, not ordinary Purusharthis, those who are aware of the Sangam Yuga, those who are aware who they are, what they are and what they have to do, those who have the awareness of the time, those who are awake and not unconscious. If they are becoming sorrowful, and if happiness is not coming to them, or in 24 hours, for 10 minutes they are becoming sorrowful, so what should we do? What is the reason? Yeah, that is one. First thing is, try to figure out in which situation I become unhappy. What are the triggers for unhappiness? Find out. Everybody will have his own triggers. And how to deal with those triggers. The trigger may be a person. A person with whom we have a very strong karmic account. The moment I remember that person, I become unhappy, sorrowful, depressed. The moment that person comes in front of my eyes, I am not the same. As Baba said in Sunday's Murli, two words, Bhav and Bhavana. The most important work has to be done at the level of feelings and emotions, not at the level of thought, not at the level of logic, not at the level of tark, but at the level of Bhav and Bhavana. There should be purification of Bhav and Bhavana. Unless and until the emotions are purified, and emotions, they are not outside. And emotions, they are very deep. And emotions, they are here. This is the iceberg. Only one ninth is here. This is the one tenth part. And this is the ninth tenth part. This is the subconscious mind. Antarman. This is the conscious mind. Logic is here. Subconscious doesn't know logic. Subconscious is filled with feelings and emotions. And some negative feeling has entered for person X and it has gone down. So this negative feeling is in the emotions, and we are working at the level of Srimat. We are working at the level of logic, reasoning. We are telling our mind, this is not right and that is right. Emotions don't listen to such things. They understand the language of words. They understand the language of imagination. They understand the language of visualization. They understand the language of pictures. They understand the language of emotions, feelings, art. So we need to enter this subconscious, because sorrow is hidden somewhere here, very deep, because so many layers have come up that it has gone deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And now it's here, waiting for the trigger. This is the trigger. This trigger comes and the sorrow comes on the surface and hits and then goes back and sets here. And it becomes all the more potent, and the snowball effect happens. It becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. The mass area increases. First thing is understand. What is causing me sorrow? First thing is journaling. It is known as journaling. Journaling is write down. Write down the situation that causes sorrow. Write down, jot down the situation that should be very clear. This is the one that causes me sorrow. Person, object, situations. This is the first thing. Second step is identify the triggers. What are the triggers? Third thing, deal with the triggers. How to deal with the trigger? For example, if person A and person B, okay, they are friends and then there is a breakup and they go away, part ways. And now person B comes in Gyan, and here he or she learns you have to swing in the swing of happiness, and you have got God and all the things of knowledge. But then suddenly person B remembers person A and becomes sorrowful, because the memory is still there. And that is the reason for sorrow. In spite of everything good, now the trigger comes and person is sorrowful. Trigger goes away, person is happy. Trigger comes, person is sorrowful. Trigger goes away, person is happy. Trigger coming, sorrow. Trigger going, happiness. So how to deal with this trigger? Should we hate the person whom we want to forget? What to do then? This is a good question. Suppose person A and B are in love, or person A and B are enemies, and then somebody of them comes in Gyan, he forgets person B or person A, but then the hatred or that deep infatuation or that crush or that love is still there. So how to get rid of this trigger? Because this is a trigger for unhappiness. Because whenever the memory comes, whenever the remembrance of that person and this person is thrown into doldrums in unhappiness, in that abysmal breath of darkness, depth of darkness. So what to do? Shubhavna. That is a good thing. If that person is not in Gyan. Achha, bring that person. Oh, it's not that easy. It's not impossible though, but it's difficult. Those who are staunch opposers and suddenly we cannot bring them in Gyan. We can have good feelings, good wishes for them for a long time, because his fortune is entirely different and we do not know. They might come in Gyan, but after 10 years, till then what? How? That is the question. How to change that feeling for that person? Because that person has become a source of trigger, source of unhappiness, a trigger for unhappiness. A situation, I gave the example of person, this could be an object, this could be a situation. A situation where I was very unhappy and now I came out of that unhappiness. But even the memory of that situation takes me again back to that unhappiness. I will give you two examples. For example, A and B. A and B. This is a love relationship, this is a hate relationship. There are two types. Person A is in love with B and person B is in love with A, and then there is a breakup and they go away. And this person has started already a new life and this person is yet to start a new life, and the memories are attacking, assailing. Why two people are attached with each other? When two people are attached with each other, how do they get away? How should they get away? Because they keep on focusing only on the positive aspect of that relationship. And because of that positivity, they are not able to get rid. They should also focus on some negative events that happened between them. That will induce vairag. Otherwise, they keep on remembering only the good things spent together. So how will they get away? Negativity for the events, not for the person. Negativity for the events and negativity for the vices, because there must be some vice that has come in between. Maybe lust, maybe something else that had led to the downfall of that relationship, maybe some expectations, excess expectations. So develop negativity for that expectation, that not for that person. That person is always at a, we should always think that that person is not at a fault. Or this downfall has occurred because of me. Because I came under the influence of some vice. The vice could be expectations. The vice could be lust. The vice could be not understanding that person. Because everybody thinks that I am right and the other person is wrong. So, there must be some negative events. Focus on that event. Not on the negativity of that person, but on the events, on the influence of that vice, and then try to get away. Otherwise, the whole life of B would be in remembrance of A, or the whole life of A would be in remembrance of B. They won't be able to get away for long, any time. Yesterday, when I was in down Shantivan, one sister, she is in Gyan for a very long time, maybe 30 years, she said, every day I get my Laukik relatives in my dream, what should I do? After being in Gyan for 30 years, every day I feel relatives are coming in the dream. What to do? Laukik?
are coming in the dreams because they are in the subconscious mind. In spite of doing all Purusharth, not just doing Purusharth, making others Tivra Purusharthi and giving classes on Tivra Purusharthi, but Laukik relatives are holding very fast. Now second relationship is hate relationship. Two people hate each other. Now they should focus on the loveful event that happened. They should not trying to love, keep the immediately to love the person is very difficult. But some loveful events that happened and seeing that soul as a soul and then situated in the our nature of the happiness. Whether this relationship or this relation, there is a third which is known as love-hate relationship. Sometimes love, sometimes fight. Both the things happening. Morning love, evening hate. So that is a love-hate relationship. You want to... You are attached to some person so much that you want to hurt that person. And once you hurt, then again you don't want that person to go away. You scratch him and then you love him. You scratch him and then you love him. So both things go on together. So this is known as third love-hate relationship, where there is an eternal confusion about the relationships. What is happening, nobody knows. True love. So they are fighting also, they are loving also. Morning they fight, evening they love. Love, fight, love, fight. So that is going on, you know. These relationships are one of the most important things causing unhappiness in life. Whenever there is a disharmony. So striking harmony. And the best way is not to get emotionally involved with anybody. Not to get emotionally attached with any person of this world. Ek Vrata, yesterday's Murli, Ruhaniyat. If you want to bring spirituality, the first principle is Ek Vrata. Because this is the only stable relationship in the world, God and I. All other relationships, they are in the stage of flux, fluctuations, upheavals, hulchal. If I don't get come into hulchal, that other person, I don't know, he will come into hulchal and he will then make me into that upheaval stage. So, focus, first make the thing clear what is causing sorrow, one. Second, identify the triggers. Third, deal with the triggers. And fourth, make a plan. Make a plan of happiness. Make a plan. What is causing? If this is the cause of unhappiness, how do I remove this unhappiness in my life? And then this, what Baba is saying, you step away from the world of unhappiness. Here also he said, you remain nyara. You remain detached and with the ocean of happiness. And most important thing, in yesterday's Sakar Murli, there was a very beautiful, powerful statement. Be soul conscious and be akela, alone, and then remember the Father. Be soul conscious and in that stage of solitude, akela, or whatever you call, then remember the Father. Get alone. Remove the crowd which is there in the mind. Be soul conscious, and when you become alone, that time try to remember the Father, then his remembrance will come, otherwise not. Otherwise people have already crowded. Remove the crowd. So much crowd is there in the mind. Let him enter. There should be some place for him to enter. So this hedonic treadmill principle, it's not for those who are into spirituality. Our level of happiness, graph of happiness should be like this. Rising and rising and rising, every time rising. In the world, graph of happiness, happiness, then sorrow. Happiness and then sorrow. Then little happiness, then big sorrow. Our graph should be like this. Spiritual graph of happiness. Yesterday, this much happiness. Today, happiness has increased. Then more, then more, and then more. It should not go down like this. So graph of happiness should keep on increasing. Baba says level of mercury, para, should go up and up and up. So this is today's blessing. Om Shanti.